Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with
episode 73.
Hi.
I don't know why I was going to say 50.
I don't know. We could call.
I think that was the last time I got to see an episode number.
Episode pi.
Episode 73.
We're in the low 70s.
For shouldidrinkthat.com.
We are in a special locale this evening. Bakhtam where?
Manaka.
Bakhtam Manaka.
Manaka, man.
Where exactly is Manaka?
Yes, we've got Chris with us, which most of you are familiar with Chris if you've listened to our past shows. Chris, thank you for inviting us out here.
Yes, welcome back and thank you.
Absolutely.
So tell us, where is Manaka?
Our second location is in Beaver County. And we are actually located at the Beaver Valley Mall, and our zip code and our exit off the highway is labeled as Manaka, Pennsylvania. So if you're coming past the airport, we're probably about another 15 minutes on the highway.
Okay.
And back from Cranberry, we're about 20, 25 minutes. It depends on how fast you drive.
How many beers you've had?
About 25 minutes from the Turnpike exit in Beaver Valley.
Nice.
Those are three good sort of landmarks to know where you're coming from.
It took me about 20 minutes from Moon today, 15, 20 minutes, and that was with nighttime rush, so, I mean, it's you can get here really fast.
Yeah, it took me about the same coming from Cranberry Township if you're local.
And if you're from the other Balk town, say so you want to have lunch at the one and come dinner at the
dinner
other.
At the other.
It's about a 25-minute commute or 28-minute maybe if you're in some, you know, little traffic jam at Robinson. But we have to get back and forth there quite a bit, and it's pretty steady, 25 minutes between the two.
Yeah, so you pretty much got the route down.
Well, it's just a hop off the highway on both instances.
Yeah,
so as long as 60's not covered with traffic or accidents or construction.
Right, right.
It's not 60 anymore, is it?
Both of them are great locations.
376.
376.
And don't ask me the exit numbers. I don't know.
39. Okay. Well, the one out here is 39.
Okay, thank you. Good.
All I know is that's my first trip down through over the river and through the woods from Cranberry. So, you know, my few first trips are going to be slow and steady until I learn that route.
Yeah. I was a straight shot 376, so it was really easy.
Yeah, nice, brother, nice.
Yeah. The Cranberry route, I call it
easy ride,
path.
Just different, you know, yeah. Not used to that.
You can also go up 68 up into, like, Elwood City area somewhere that way, a little bit higher than Cranberry. I don't know where you live, but...
We're smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make it even easier for you. Go on Google Maps, put in Manaka, PA.
I did. It
or Beaver Valley Mall. And yeah, for everybody else, if you want to figure out how to get here, that's the best way to do
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And there are three hotels nearby if you want to make a real party of it.
I will be taking advantage of that.
We haven't made friends with them yet. We're so new. But I'm looking right out the window, and I can see one. It can remain nameless unless they give you money for your show.
Hey, there you go. But,
there are three of them.
It's a big green H, and we'll leave it at that.
And you get really smart the next morning if you stay there.
Supposedly.
Gee, I wonder what that one is.
It all depends on what you drink the night before, though. And with Bakhtam across
the
street...
You don't get that reference, you just need to get out more.
And if you come to Bakhtam, you will get smart drinking the beers.
Yes, you will.
Because it is all good craft beers here.
It definitely does raise your intelligence level.
You become the intellectual inebriate.
It's craft beer nirvana.
So speaking of the beers, Al, how many beers do you have here? What's the selection like?
In beer and dippity.
Verendipity. We are in Verendipity. We have the same MO as the other restaurant. So okay. 400 bottles, 16 on draft, all 16 rotate all of the time. We'll do tastings just like the other one, live music like the other one, dinner hours the same as the other one. We have dinner till midnight during the week, dinner till 1 a.m. on the weekends. We totally believe in beer with food. We're not sitting here trying to forget our lives. We're trying to, pair up great food with great beer, and you can always come back another day and try another one.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So you now have two locations. How do you manage both at one time?
That remains to be seen.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
It is still a new business, but you've been working on this for a long time, making sure everything's perfect. And now that it's finally open, how do you manage the two places?
Some great things have come along. One is Tara, you've spoken with before.
Yes, we know her well.
Yeah, Tara is my right arm, and she is the general manager of the first store. She's been with me since day one, and we've worked at another restaurant prior to that. Her name on Twitter is Beer Librarian. I hope you get to speak with her tonight. She also has a quaint nickname that they may remember from our Beer Dependence Day show.
Rainbow Boobs.
What was her name?
Rainbow Boobs.
Yes. And it's a cute little story, but she does all our chalkboard art, which is kind of where it resonates from. But she's holding down the fort there and just managing it away. I've backed off of it for almost a year now. So
very nice.
Where I don't have to go there. I've just wanted to go and keep in touch with people. So that gave me the courage to really get this going. Plus, there's things that we've put in place electronically. We're working some of our systems up to the internet so we can, both be working from the same piece of paper or, as much as we could standardize our process, we did.
Very good.
And it's hard. I'm going to be jumping from 30-some employees to almost 90 employees.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We have yet to see if we can handle it. I hope we can. I think we can. And I have a lot of other people I should thank, but the show doesn't really need to know it. I have people in place here, an assistant, and we've let a lot of other people advance. Dash is doing a great job at the first one.
I was just going to ask you that. I asked you this at the Steel City Big Four, but that interview may or may not come to fruition because of the background noise of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to ask you this again, and I'm sure the fans of Rocktown Robinson would like to know as well, is how many of your regular employees actually came to this location?
We brought 10 people that have been with us for a long time from the first one to guide this one. They've at least been there a year and a half at the first one, mm-hmm. or over a year at the first one, and some of them have been there since day one. And they've been spending the past year and a half making sure that their jobs were replaced at the first one and training new people. So we really are starting off on good ground. 10 full-timers, including myself.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I've been coming to Blacktown, you guys have always had a great crew.
Very knowledgeable.
Friendly, knowledgeable, great people.
One of the biggest things is if they don't know, they have been taught to say, I don't know, and to go find an answer. And they can look it up on the internet or go get a taste and share it with you.
Yep.
They don't have to know everything. I think there's sort of a comfort in them knowing that they can be relaxed. And it's okay not to know everything. How could you possibly know about all
four? Yeah, we've been doing this for 5 years. We don't know everything either.
Yeah. Well, I think you knew everything from day one.
Well, yeah.
But every once in a while, you still need that refresher.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We do drink a lot of beer.
Right. Well, I know when
all the answers are at the bottom of one of these bottles. I'm just trying to find that bottle. You were saying, Chris? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I know one that one that Father Spoon doesn't like. What? I almost brought one tonight.
What, the butternuts? I saw you have butternuts.
Yes, you do have butternuts. All three of them. Well, three of them, not all three of them.
I didn't order them.
you've got chalada somewhere.
Yeah, well, not chalada, Clamato.
Clamato, yeah.
God.
You know what? I think Clamato is great on 9 or 10 a.m. after a fishing trip in Canada on a dock.
No.
It's definitely not good fall Pittsburgh inside at night.
My dad brought it up since I was a kid. I always put tomato juice in his beer.
Yeah, right.
And when I showed him that can, he's like, we're putting this stuff in cans now.
Right. It could have been a millionaire.
What the hell?
It could have been a millionaire. Well, the one that I actually like we have in Canada, it's vodka-based. So it's basically a Bloody Mary in a bottle, but it's still gross. It's a clear bottle.
Clam juice.
And you can just see stuff floating around in it. And you pour it over ice with a lime. Then it's good. It's not beer.
Have you guys ever seen My Drunk Kitchen?
Yes, I haven't watched that for a while.
One of the drinks, she was just up in Canada, and one of the drinks she had is exactly what Chris is describing right now.
Does she like it?
Oh, yeah, well, it's got alcohol.
We know she's drunk.
Oh, I never saw the show.
The whole premise of the show, basically the premise of the show is she drinks and cooks.
It's funny.
Oh, Bitchin' Kitchen.
Well, no, but she can't.
Is that that one?
It's called My Drunk Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
My Drunk Kitchen.
She originally made the video for a friend, and then your friend like kind of posted it and spread it around, and now she's like this big internet
viral
sensation.
Yeah.
And she basically just gets loaded and tries to cook, and she can't cook. She's awesome. She is. She's got one of the best shows out there. Her editing is awesome. You have to check it out sometime. We'll post a link on shouldidrinkthat.com for it. Because it is a good time. I think it's mydrunkkitchen.com. I think she bought the URL.
Well, you need to definitely have her on the show.
Oh, I would love to have her on the show. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be fun, man. So speaking of drinking, what are you drinking?
We have beers.
We have beer.
We've been talking for 10 minutes, and we haven't started drinking. Now that the formal stuff's out of the way.
Good.
We're kind of sticking local here. For the first one.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, yeah,
actually,
sure.
Actually, yeah, definitely wanted to do... I wanted to treat you guys to some things you hadn't had before, so I just thought of what was new and fresh in the cooler I hadn't had, and hopefully we don't have too much overlap. I wanted to try to stick with Pennsylvania beers tonight.
Yeah, sure.
It's sort of our MO at Bocktown to do local and regional at first. Mm-hmm. We do definitely carry a wide variety, but we don't have too much import. We don't go overboard. We never have imports on draft. So I'd like to give kudos to some of the best breweries we've been working with over the past 5 years. And I think we found one none of us have had.
Right. I mean, I have a bottle of this at home, but
haven't opened
sitting
it?
I haven't opened it yet. Yeah, so I'm excited to try this. We are doing the Trobes Brewing Company Perpetual IPA.
About 7.5% ABV.
Yeah, it's a session beer.
Yeah, the IBUs are 85. Yeah, also, you know, session level of IBUs.
Pretty respectable,
that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's not 100, Sick Puppy doesn't drink it, apparently.
Nah. I'm kind of getting burned out on the, my God, we have 500 IBUs in this beer. Yeah, shut up.
It does have four of the hops in this thing. Pretty impressive list. Bravo, Chinook, Mount Hood. Nugget, Dry Hop. They have a bunch of different hops that they've used in this.
They also have a hop back with this beer as well. So yeah. It's continuously hop.
Yeah, the hop back hops are Mountain Hood and Nugget, and then it's dry hopped with Citra, Cascade, and Amarillo.
Wow. So house unfiltered ale.
So there's a lot of hoppiness in this.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a nice strong color, golden color.
It's very clear. It's extremely clear for an IPA.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It's nice, yeah.
So,
I mean, there wasn't too much of a head on it, but considering the glasses we're drinking out of, that's respectable.
Cheers. For the first beer of the evening.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Holy hops.
Holy hops is right.
You get the hops up front. There's a lot of hops in here, but it's done nice. It's not overpowering, like, you don't pucker up.
For 85 IBUs,
exactly.
This is
tame. That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
wow.
For 85 IBUs, it's. I don't want to say subtle. That's too strong of a word.
Yeah, you don't want to say smooth.
Kind of right in the middle.
Yeah,
I'd like to say well balanced.
Yes, good job, Chris and John.
Indeed,
the brothers did another good job. Not that I ever doubt anything that they make, but this is a
right
fantastic.
Now. This is a seasonal, so I mean, they actually made this beer to celebrate the opening of their brand new brewery, the one they just built. So that's their homage to that.
I hope they stick it out with it. I can tell you just with the first sip that I'm a big, humongous fan of hops myself. And
yeah.
I like it to be hoppy, but I don't want it to be so lingering that it kills you.
Right, exactly.
It's all in the front of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like I could still eat dinner, I still could probably have something else and still taste it.
That's why I'm kind of iffy still. I'm still trying, damn it, but the sour ales.
Oh,
you start out with that, though, every other beer is just ruined for me.
Do you like sours?
No.
Oh.
I shouldn't say that. I do, but I can only handle like a sip or two before I'm either tired of it or just had enough. I'm still trying, though. I got to find that one that I like.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I had a...
I started out with a sour. Tion, and that's kind of starting out at the top. Yeah.
I can't say I haven't had that one, but I'll tell you, I have a very firm opinion on sours.
I shall get you one.
Thank you. Especially if you have any sours, anybody out there in the Hawaii world that doesn't like sours, you can gladly drop
bring them to Bataan Manaka.
Yes, 500 Beaver Valley Mall Boulevard, Manaka, Pennsylvania, 15061, I think. Care of Chris Dilla. Anyways, I am a big fan of sours.
Are you?
There's a few of us that, I've been drinking beer, craft beer, since the first day that Pembury opened and learned what beer was a little bit more from them 25 years ago now. And there was that whole craze that the Strip District had some craft breweries.
Oh, yeah, I remember that fondly because I was all excited. And I'm like, wait a minute, I homebrew better beers than half you guys.
Right, there was that. There was that, but you learn. Yeah. But you learn about the styles. I got into it. That was at the right time in my life.
Yeah, I think back then they were just ahead of the times. And some were more for money than
some just said, let's take water and turn it into money.
Right, yeah.
Not naming names.
Foundry Ale Works.
Well, no, they were my favorite, actually.
I love them, but
they were great.
That money just kind of went...
Yeah, there was one, actually, I think called The Strip. It was bad.
I feel bad because some of those brewers did go on to become better brewers.
Oh, sure.
Breweries,
you got to start somewhere. I can't bash the brewers themselves. I think I bash more the business model than the brewers.
Right, or the owners. And, sometimes it's just actual non-common sense. You're not necessarily a good business owner. Restaurants combined with breweries aren't necessarily a great mix if you've never been in business. You can't do both and do both well. Who knows?
Right.
At the end of the day, I learned a lot about beer back then. So by the time this second wave of craft beer hit, I think I was so far beyond most of the people that are walking in the front door of Bocktown that I couldn't relate to a Butternuts, or I definitely couldn't relate to a Saranac, or all of these ones that are just have a little bit of everything.
Right.
That it's just cute packaging and sort of. I'm sorry, poor Butternuts, but just, they're right on the edge of what we might call a training wheels beer for their community.
Sure,
But I couldn't relate to any of that. Now, we ended up with some sours at, like, Ithaca Brute, like, in the first or second year open, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, sours are hard to find in PA, I found.
For sure, hard to find. And I think it's going to take a little while, but just, like, the new beer of the year last year or whatever year was a black IPA
that's new style.
I like that style. Some people hate it.
If it was what I think it should be, it would be, like, half malt and half hop, like, a sort of, like, the best of both worlds.
Right, sure.
That's kind of what I think it in my mind's eye what I wanted it to be. So if that is what it is, great. If that's not what it is, I don't know what the heck's a black IPA even for.
Yeah, you know? I mean, for me, I like to see that new styles come out because that's the kind of home brewer I am. I just put whatever in a beer and see what happens.
Right.
So I love new styles coming out all the time. I kind of search that out. Something new, something different all the time.
Right.
And I still respect all the older styles. But
what you're doing as a craft brewer, you got to go try the next thing. Try the next thing.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, if you like cheeses, you want to find the next cheese you never had before.
Yeah. Do you think, like, a lot of breweries are just jumping on the bandwagon, riding the trend?
With sours or with black
IPA? Everything, anything.
Not really. I mean, I think some of them have it together that they know who they are and what they are.
Right.
They don't, like Bocktown's not going to all of a sudden have karaoke.
Well, thank God.
Right?
Oh, really?
Thank God.
Because you got some great TVs for it.
I'm so glad you said that, Chris.
Right.
Makes me happy.
Right. But so we're not going to just say, the customer wants us to have 25-cent wing night. We're going to have 25-cent wing night. No. That's not what we are. So some breweries got their act together, and some don't know what they are or aren't as good at leading. They'll follow.
Yeah.
I think it's just their business model. But still back to sours.
All comes on the money, actually.
Yeah, sure. Right. What pays the bills?
Right.
But coming back to sours, just in my mind, sours are the next step for people at sort of our level. Like, I know it's hard for you to I see his face. You make a funny face. But what I like about them is I can have an IPA and a double IPA and have dinner and say my taste buds are fried. I've got garlic and I've got hops. To the extreme, but then I have a sour and it cuts it all out.
See, I'm the opposite with my palate.
Okay.
Once I do that sour, everything else is just
right.
Bold.
Right. Well, I agree with you, but see, like from hop to sour, you can still really enjoy your sour.
I will take that recommendation.
Try it.
I will.
But then also,
like I said, I haven't given up. So.
Okay. And then also, I feel comfortable coming back because you can't drink that much sour. Really, without kind of maybe upsetting your tummy, or it's a slower drink or something, for some people. And I'll come back to another double IPA after that. So, sweet. My glass is getting filled up by Father Spoon. Where does that name come from? I'm going to interview you.
You guys are talking way too much.
Hey, drink. Okay. It's a good conversation, man. Shut up.
Well, anyways, I say give this hour a fair shake. The reason they're not as prevalent in the market is they take so long to make.
Sure.
They are hard to, some of them are 3 years, more in, nobody has the room, nobody has this package or whatever. I will tell you a little plug for Helltown. He brought homebrew to us just when we were getting to know him almost a year ago, 8-10 months ago. And he let us try 3-year-old sour from his homebrew. And basically, I just leaped across the table and told him I loved him. And I saw that he has oak barrels in his possession, and he is aging beer. So I don't know. He's coming here for a tasting in October. So we'll learn more about it then. I think it's pretty funny. We might have a Helltown tasting right around Halloween. But I'll learn more what he's going to do. I think he's going to be sort of our sort of boutique brewing that doesn't have to do everything everybody else is doing.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Now, do you guys have a relationship to it's kind of a segue because it just matches so well with the All Saints Brewing guys?
We had met them, and actually one of the owners there is female, so she was written up in that same nice crafty woman article that we were in. I've only met her once. I've spoken to her a few times through email, and we are very much looking forward to working with them.
I just love it. It's like heaven and hell right together.
Yes, actually, the big pour, they were stationed right beside each other.
Yeah, and they also got their brewing licenses back-to-back in the state, so that's really weird, too, yeah. Yeah, you'll hear that in the
that's cool.
The last show, show previews to this one, I guess. Still City Big Pour interview we did with them.
That kind of brings me to a point. Everybody always asks me, well, what's your competition? What do you think about, this restaurant, this bar nearby that does this and that? I think the more the merrier. It's not competition. They're competition. They're not competition.
You guys are so unique
that
you don't really have competition.
Well, I don't think restaurants are competition. I don't think bars are competition.
Sure.
I think the blizzard is a competition. I think a bad road or traffic or shutting down the highway exit, that's a competition. That's a problem. So the brewery's all opening. There's a bunch of new ones coming in the market. That is only something to feed the community more information about breweries.
Yep.
And I kind of look at them sort of like little, they're regional to the little town that they're in.
Sure.
And if they can build it a little bit bigger, they can get fans all over the country. It's not going to steal business out of somebody else's pocket. It really isn't.
Right.
You're going to find more people.
I think there's room for all of them.
Oh, my gosh, there
well,
is.
Look at all the breweries that were around before Prohibition, too, that were in Pittsburgh. You had Duquesne right across the street from Winter Brothers. And which was right across the street from another brewery. So there were a ton of breweries on the south side of Pittsburgh, and all of them sold a ton of beer. So it's not like the market's not out there, the demand's not out there.
Right, and, I don't think it's going to get oversaturated with, people thinking, I'm a home brewer, I can do this.
Not until we open a brewery,
which
then
is
everything's going to blow up.
You'll put everybody out of business, right, with Father's Spoon.
Unless they do, they're not going to give me a brewing license. Hey, Chris, not to change the subject
please
here.
Please change it.
Okay. But you had just mentioned about the craft beer ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell the folks a little bit about that?
I don't know how we got so lucky.
This celebrity in the paper.
Really? It's a beautiful thing. I hope that just grows and grows. But go ahead and tell the people about what you guys just
I was interviewed, I was interviewed back in April because we were coming up on American Craft Beer Week.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Batts called me and interviewed me way back, April, May. And I had suggested that he also talk to Tara because Tara does all of our beer ordering for the past 3 years and has the real connections with the people that we have to do business with, and she makes it happen. So he interviewed the two of us, and then maybe a month or so later asked me for some other suggestions, and hopefully I put him in the right direction. I didn't give him everybody in the article, but I gave him a couple suggestions. He talked to a few other ladies because we suggested, and the article never came to fruition. About 3 weeks before the big pour, maybe 2 weeks before we were getting ready to open the second restaurant, he calls up and said, I'd like to send a photographer out to your location and take pictures. I'm like, what? I'm like, this is not the time of my life I want a picture taken of me whatsoever. At all. I mean, I'm so exhausted, completely overwhelmed, 2 hours of sleep every night because we're just trying to get people trained and get a restaurant open. Stressed to the max. Get there, she takes a beautiful picture of me. She got me calmed down. And she actually took great pictures of us. Who cares? This isn't the poor part. But What was shocking to me was a couple nights later, after we opened this restaurant, somebody said, "Chris, you're on the news. Chris, you're on the news." And like, I better not be on the news. Like, what did I do? Like, I don't know. I wasn't interviewed. Am I on the news for what? Like, you know, like I'm trying to think about something from my past came back to haunt me. Like, what am I on the news for? And they're like, no.
I live that every day.
Protest outside Blocktown.
Right. Somebody told me that, no, your picture is in the Tomorrow's paper. They have like in Tomorrow's PG section or something on the news the night before. And there's just a corner, like a newspaper hanging in the corner, and there's a picture of you in the newspaper on the TV. Okay, I still don't know. I mean, I'm just starting to put two and two together that it is that article. So I said, "Oh, it's a picture of Blocktown," and they're like, "No, a picture of you." I'm like, "Oh my god, it's a whole thing above the fold." Oh my god, I'm going to get every single paper ever produced in Pittsburgh. I'm going to pick them all up at 5 a.m. And so obviously I did not do that, and the article, first of all, the photograph was awesome, but the article itself was a great tribute. It's very lengthy. You have to be into beer to want to read it, but it's a great tribute to all the women in business and or you know, influencing the scene in Pittsburgh craft beer.
Yeah.
It is definitely not a masculine community.
I want to see more of that. I really do.
If you look at my Facebook stats, we're consistently for 5 years 60-40 women to men. And we are consistently filled up with half and half, you know, couples and, you know, women with their friends, and 60-year-old women with friends drinking good beer. It's not 21-year-old women.
Yep.
It's
there's a couple back there, too, that we saw that were looking over at you drinking. Oh, they're drinking good beer.
Yeah.
Which is odd that you mentioned that.
A couple of females or a couple?
Older females.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and in older, you know, not that it's, not. I don't know, except for to say they're not 21. You know, there are 21-year-old women drinking craft beer,
mm-hmm.
but there are plenty of women walking in, exploring it, and learning about it.
And I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
You know.
They never liked beer. What we usually just tell them is you never tasted beer.
And what I also think, too, is I think they've always been there to a certain extent, but they've never gotten the exposure that the men get in the craft beer.
They're looking for that voice.
Yeah,
they're looking for a voice, and I think you guys are, you know, really contributing to that, and I want to see that grow. I'd love to see that grow.
Thank you. Well, just start looking for Blocktown third location.
There you go.
The one nice surprise that I saw with that article too, besides the fact that you and Tara were in it, was that our dear friend Amanda.
Amanda, we love you.
Amanda loves beer.
Mandy Cakes.
Mandy Cakes,
as I like to call her. That's her stripper name. We decided one night.
That's awesome.
She's a salesperson for one of the local distributors.
Yep.
And I mean, that just goes to show too that, you know, it's not just people owning restaurants, it's people that are selling the beer.
Yeah.
And what I like too is Sick Puppy and I knew Amanda before she even got started with the scene. We knew her when she was like fresh out of college.
When she was a sex therapist?
Yes, when she was going to be the sex therapist.
Not that I had an appointment with her or anything. Let's make that clear.
But she spent many nights at Three Sons Dogs and Suds with us. And then next thing we know, she goes, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to start working for Vicini." We're like, "Oh, perfect. We know a beer girl."
Yeah.
And now she's everywhere, too, and everyone's talking to her. But she's someone also that's used social media to build her reputation now and help build up that business. Like, people know. You want to find out about beer right away, what's going to happen, talk to Amanda.
Yeah. And let me say that's like a beer girl in the preconception of what a beer girl is one of the things that she brings up in her segment of the article. It's like, don't think and stick beer in a purse and think we're going to buy it. Like, a pink six-pack holder.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't insult the women that are drinking the beer.
Right.
And don't expect that we're going to come out and do tastings and wear tight clothes.
Yeah.
That's not what we do.
I don't want to hear a bartender say to a, you know, even somebody, a girl that's getting into craft beer, "Oh, no, you don't want that. Try this.
Right.
This is too much for you."
The marketing related to the fake beer scene, the fake craft beer scene, and big beer is so insulting to every woman.
Right.
I mean, I know that, you know, I mean, whatever. I'm not some crazy feminist, sexist, whatever. I get it.
We know.
But any woman that drinks Coors Light really needs to get a grip and decide, I don't want to drink that. I mean, the way they market, the way Labatt markets their beer, any woman that drinks it is just missing. Yeah, spend your dollars elsewhere.
Well, you know, they came out with Labatt Blue Lime now.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I saw
it. Maybe you can mix it with the Clamato.
God, let it go, people. Let it go.
All right, so we have the Perpetual IPA with us, and we also have some food that
we do. What you eating over there, Chris?
What would go best here with the Perpetual IPA?
I'm eating. Too busy eating the answer.
I'll take this.
Well, let's say what we have here. Those are cold because we've been talking too long.
Yeah, that's okay.
But those are the smoked oysters.
Oh, my God. Can you describe those a little bit for us?
Well, tonight's the first time I'm tasting them because we have a feature sheet.
Oh, nice.
Well, we have a feature sheet that the items change up on every day. So this is something they chose to put on the menu, and they are ridiculously delicious. Cold or hot?
Yeah, they are.
Holy shit.
We might need to get another order.
Those are amazing, Chris.
But good.
I'm trying to back away from the mic so I'm not chewing in the mic.
Right.
So.
They're served with a smoked aioli. Excuse me. I'm not even sure what it says.
It is.
Okay. So, breaded oysters served with smoked aioli. I would say that's going to be a perfect mix because of the
oh my God, yes.
Yeah. For me, anything that's kind of fatty, like the fatty unctuousness or whatever, is going to go with the cut of the IPA, the whatever the hops of the IPA is going to cut it. I think that'd be a great pair. I also love garlic with IPAs. Anything with garlic and IPA.
And I don't know if you mentioned it. What's the sauce?
Let's read the menu.
It's like a mustard.
Smoked aioli oysters. So hand-breaded oysters, deep-fried golden brown, and finished with a smoked aioli.
Oh, Jesus.
This is perfect. That is perfect with the IPA.
That's amazing, dude. This actually makes me want to eat more oysters.
Actually, I pretty much think everything's okay with an IPA because that's the style I like to drink.
You know what? The sauce really makes on this, too. Wow.
I don't have silverware, so I haven't tasted the sauce.
Oh, here.
Just scoot it in.
Just dip it.
Yeah, let me.
We're all friends here.
We're not double dipping, so we're good.
Speak for yourself. I might double dip.
That's okay. I learned on Mythbusters that doesn't matter.
Only if you're on Seinfeld.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was good naked, but it was really nice with the sauce.
My God.
Yeah, I had to try it naked first because I love oysters and, breaded oysters.
I like all oysters. Raw oysters in Boston are my favorite thing.
I'm going to have to revisit that. I haven't had a raw oyster in years. Long, long time since I had a raw oyster.
Okay, so I think this is going to be a first for should I drink that and what we're about to do. We've got the draft and a bottle of a beer in front of us. Usually it's one or the other whenever we're out.
We've done bottle and can with a hobgoblin before, but it's nothing like this.
Never on draft and out of the bottle.
Right.
But you like it in the can, so. We're gonna talk about Full Pint Brewing's Perky Bust.
And a perky bust it is.
Are you sure
one of my favorite topics, by the way.
Are you sure it's not per se boost?
Not like De Pussy Loose.
Yes, from Avery.
No, it's Perky Buzz. I'm actually surprised that that one passed the state approval.
Yeah, how is it that this one... All right, so this is a coffee porter. How is it that Perky Bust will pass, but Scott Smith comes up with, like, eye opener and like, gets...
They could Intercourse Brewing Company out of Intercourse, PA.
I know.
They have a silo and two shrubs on the label that may or may not be a penis. Come on.
I know, but Scott's sitting there is a nice guy, and then the state comes down and they start throwing books and stuff at him because he wants to do something that might be eye opener. But here they got Perky Bust with the chick. Well, you can see. Well, she's very well endowed.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Rainbow boobs. What do you think? Is it natural? Is it natural?
Random boobs. She's rainbow boobs.
Did I say rainbow boobs?
Random boobs.
I think you said random boobs.
Say random boobs.
There's nothing I like more even than random boobs.
Like okay, with the eye opener, the reason that it was unapproved was because they said that it was implying that it would open your eyes.
Right.
Like, what is it going to do to you? Is it going to wire you, make you crazy? So,
it's going to make me pretty.
I've drank the Perky Bust before, and guess what? It doesn't work.
Doesn't work?
Your busts aren't very perky? Because hers aren't.
Yeah. Well, no. They look very natural.
Yeah. Yeah, those are natural.
Natural busts.
There is no way that gravity is going to be affected by what's in that
room. Is in no way related to the chick from that New York brewery, the Wailing Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Then that chick's stacked.
What's really funny is we talked about how we weren't going to market beer with women or care about all that, and yet we're going to talk, which is fine, but it's funny.
You are on Should I Drink That?
It's No. I don't mind, but it's interesting for the people who do cross over into the boob,
right, yeah.
boob category that they do it sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Well, here's the other thing that's BS about this label, too. Not that I want a dog on Full Pint, because they're local guys, and we dig what they do. But here's the thing with this label. Look how she's holding that coffee, too. And it's like it looks like it's steaming hot, and she's really cupping that thing. Her hand would be on fire if she was doing something like that.
You're so literal.
I'm just trying to give reasons why I'm not looking at her chest.
If I tick on that bottle, it's just because I'm jealous.
Here.
So I really can't say anything.
I'm jealous, too, of her. Jeez, look at that. All right, so let's try the let's do the draft first. This is 6.5. This is 6%, and about 52 IBUs.
Yeah,
not bad. Malts, Pilsner. You got some honey, some Munich too, Crystal. You know, you guys really don't give a shit about this. You want to know what the beer tastes like, all right? We're gonna tell you here. All right, so let's do the draft first.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Clink. Fake
clink,
Beaver
County.
Clink
noises.
Salute.
Salute. Oh, we have to do a little salute, too.
Show me your beaver.
County Courthouse. Holy wow. That's coffee.
Oh, that's nice.
Light.
It's not as heavy as I expected, exactly.
It's very light, actually.
It is 6%, but...
Well, no, I mean, it's light body. It's like it's like a brown.
Yeah, it's a little thin. It's thinner than I expected it to be. Not to take away from it, though. It's a nice beer.
That's the dark roasted coffee I don't like, though.
Yeah, but you're not a coffee guy,
though.
Well,
I know.
Right?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a big coffee guy. I mean, some coffee I do like, but this seems like really dark. Like dark, heavy coffee. Like sludge that my dad would probably drink back in the 50s out of one of those cast iron kettles that he had in the yard. Well, he's out on the gravy train.
I've had this sludge of your beer. I don't think this is, you know, that doesn't fit in with that.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a coffee drinker. So as a coffee drinker, what do you guys think of it, though?
I love coffee. It doesn't really remind me of coffee so much as it reminds me of a roasted malt beer.
Right.
It doesn't have, like, espresso flavor.
No.
I get the coffee reference,
but it's the malt that's doing it.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think it's not very thick. I think it's drinkable. Like a lot of times you hear of a coffee porter, you think it's going to be almost thick and sludgy.
Yeah, like motor oil.
Which to me might be delicious. So I think it's more approachable for somebody who doesn't like coffee.
Right, yeah.
Great beer. But I don't like coffee.
Right. So why are you drinking it?
Because it's in front of me.
Yeah. It's in front of me. What am I going to do with it?
Let's give Tara the mic a minute and see what she thinks about it. But I'm going to move over and sip the bottle. We have draft first and bottle second.
Bottle second.
Bottle second, yes.
Right on it. My perky bus is getting in the way. I think it's neat because it is a coffee porter, but it really comes off almost as like a chocolatey bock.
That's
so
a good reference.
Kind of one of those,
yes.
Is it a pale ale? Is it an IPA? It kind of skips around a little bit. Like, and when you taste it, it does have that malt. And I think the malt almost overpowers the coffee.
I agree.
In the beer,
yeah.
Which
it necessarily isn't bad.
I like both.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of double bocky in a good
now
way.
Now that you say that, yeah, I agree.
That's funny. I think it's funny that wasn't an observation already. That's what makes Tara the beer librarian.
Yeah.
I'm not getting double bocky.
And it's funny, you know, how, like, different people's opinions, you know, you may not get a flavor right away until it's discussed. And you're, oh, yeah, I get that. It may be power of suggestion. I don't know. But.
Right. If the label didn't say, you know, Full Pint Perky Bus with the illustration of coffee on it, you might not think that it was. You could almost classify it as something else.
Roasty or malty, other than the coffee.
Well, to me, it's more like burnt malt.
And I know exactly what you're saying. I get that. But that's that roastiness of the malt.
That's what if I didn't know what style this was, I would say it's burnt malt.
Burnt malt.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like to me, is burnt malt.
and there's, you know, speaking of lighter body too, this is a porter. It's, you know, not a stout.
So right. Oh yeah.
You're gonna have that thinner body to it and that lighter flavor.
Well, I do like that they put on their label and they actually say Beer Nerd Stats, and then they go into detail of everything.
That?
Yeah. So they have the original gravity and all that stuff that's on here, which is a really cool thing to see.
I like that they use the term nerd. Geek as opposed to snob.
Yeah. I definitely prefer geek myself.
I like the
nerd route, yeah, but that's doable.
I like that they got a hot chick on the front. Even if she doesn't exist, like Jessica Rabbit. But someday you will.
Someday you will.
I will make it happen.
We should also mention, too, that, you know, Full Pint Brewing Company, they're, you know, a local brewing company out of North Versailles.
Versailles.
Yeah. Versailles, Versailles, Versailles.
Puppy, finish up that last piece of corn.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, out of North Versailles, PA.
Yeah, we've talked to them a couple times on the show.
Yeah, they're great guys.
At Steel City Big Pour, actually, we talked to them. Here we go with the bottled version, Perky. It's not as bitter as the first one. This is draft for me.
I'm not getting much difference. I think if anything, I get touch more alcohol flavor in the bottle.
I'm actually getting more coffee.
Yeah, it's
out of
a little
one.
More alcohol warm in the bottle, I think. Yeah. But as far as, you know,
I would actually drink the bottle over the draft on this one.
It does seem a bit heavier in the bottle.
Yeah.
Interesting how that works.
I don't know how that works, actually. I mean, I know that you know, they're brewing everything in the same plant, and they're bottling the same product, right?
Right, right.
So
it could be some sort of bottle conditioning or things like that, too. You know? Forced carbonation versus bottle conditioning and that kind of thing. But I don't think this one's actually bottle conditioned. But
still, our CO2 there, whatever, our CO2 and nitrogen that we're putting in the draft line might give it just a slightly different edge. But I will say the bottle tastes much more alcohol to me.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of slightly different edge, before I forget, Brewer's Infusion, is it coming here?
Oh, Bruiser.
Bruiser, what did I say?
Brewers. Brewers Infusion is a great misnomer. Like,
that's,
I mean, that's a
meant.
Nice. Yeah, that's okay, but I think a lot of people say that, and the brewers haven't necessarily suggested that we do anything with their beer.
Yeah.
But Bruiser is the name. There was actually a contest to name our Randall, which we just throw hops or coffee or spice or cucumber, for goodness sake.
Or whatever.
Into the filter and run a draft through it and taste it with, you know, the infusion of extra spices. We usually do try to talk to the brewers. We have talked to them and asked them what they used. And it has been in service at the first restaurant for well over, I'm guessing we're going on 3 years old with him. And the we have the second one built and ready to go. He's not installed. And we have not decided when we'll start him. We're trying to kind of let everybody get used to themselves.
I love how it's a he, not an it. That's awesome.
It's a he. He's Bruiser. Bruiser's a boy's name. So this one will start out Bruiser, but we might choose to do a contest. Maybe it'll be, you know, Bruiser's sister. Who knows?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, when we do bring him in, we're planning on doing the same beer through the infusion and straight, so you can compare it side by side.
Yeah, very nice.
So we're trying to rig that up, which will be a nice added difference for here.
Yeah, that's cool.
And if it works out, we'll take it back to the other one as well.
Very nice.
The wings, fantastic.
And the border and the wings.
Oh,
how they
do it.
Just do it.
Take a
just
second.
Just do it.
Just do it. Take a wing.
But talk amongst yourselves. These are a little messy.
Oh,
so.
But dude, it's worth it. No. It's so worth it.
Eat white. I come out way wrong.
With the wings that you're having, we call our wings West End wings. We have a lot of Pittsburgh play on our menu. So it's just a phrase. But we have a sauce tonight called Untouchable Sauce, which comes from my chef, Michael, who decided to cook with Elliot Ness. And Elliot Ness, Untouchable Connection. And so there is beer in the sauce. And it's sort of I'm no expert on barbecue sauce. It's more of like a Carolina barbecue,
onion, garlic,
and tomatoey.
A little bit of heat to it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot in it. It's not a profitable sauce. He put so many ingredients in it, I ask him to tread lightly.
But it's my favorite.
Oh, I love it, too.
It's amazing. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
A lot of depth of flavor, a lot of ingredients, and the untouchable, sort of the play on the word untouchable. I didn't want to call it Elliot Ness sauce. I didn't think that sort of introducing Great Lakes into the Pittsburgh culture work. So, sorry, Great Lakes, but we are using your beer in our sauce, and we do love it.
Now, are you going to have any sauces made with Pittsburgh beer so that you have, like, a Pittsburgh-named wing along with Pittsburgh-style beer? Or I see the perky Rainbow Boobs bust is flagging me down for this one.
No, I think that that is a good idea for a actual contest. Pittsburgh beer wing sauce contest. But of course it wouldn't be called that. It'd have to be something a little catchier than Pittsburgh
it's a bit
beer
general.
Wing sauce. But it'd be a good idea.
We do definitely cook with Pittsburgh beers that are on draft, though. We do actually cook with Penn Pilsner, which is really a lager for most people who understand better beer, so it makes a great cooking beer. We do quite a few menu items with it, for sure. It's been coming and going off, on and off the menu with the with all the problems of the brewery, but now that they're stable back in business, we've been using their products.
Now, would there ever be a time when, maybe you don't want to use commercial beers, but could you use like a homebrewer's beer? Like if there's a contest and you have a really great homebrew beer, as something to try out, it's to get their name out there. Is there a reason that you would have to use the commercial beers like the Penn or Church or anyone, or could you use somebody's homebrew for it?
I bet you we could use somebody's homebrew, but they probably wouldn't want us cooking with it. That's the beer that Sick Puppy made that didn't turn out one night. Can we do that?
I forgot about that. That's right. Well, I spent the one night cooking with your beer. Actually, I did a lot of good things with your beer.
That's actually what I do with my crappy beers. I just cook with them.
There's no better use for them. Yeah. That's great.
I don't want to dump it.
No. If you have a stout.
I chug some.
If you have a stout that's just a little bit off, a little too smoky or whatever, cook that puppy down with a bunch of beef and you'll never be happier.
Cook that puppy down with some beef.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You just heard the word puppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. When we see some warm beer, just like a beer that didn't sell, hand it to the kitchen and they can cook with it.
So, very cool.
Yeah, or if a beer that you fell asleep drinking and went flat, cook with it the next day.
Will your chef ever accept a challenge from me? I want ghost pepper wings.
I think he would. We haven't really gotten into that extreme.
Just for me, as a litmus test.
Have you had the ghost pepper marshmallow?
I have.
Oh, yes.
I had it, too.
They're not that bad.
No, they're not too.
I've had an actual ghost pepper.
Oh, my goodness.
Raw, you know.
Can you mix the ghost pepper with the Dorian?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Here we go. Do not make that beer. Get the thought out of your head right now.
You know, the Dorian's already halfway done, so if I put a ghost pepper, no, I'm not going to do that.
So, Miss Tara, since we have you sitting here, just a few questions for you, since you are the beer librarian. Has it been difficult trying to stock both places? Is the beer selection the same here as it is in Robinson? Or are there certain beers that you would have here that you might not have in Robinson, or vice versa? Like, how do you differentiate between the two, or is it the same supply that you're getting?
This has been this week has actually probably been the second week that I've actually ordered for both locations. A lot of what I do, I guess, is inflection on what I think is kind of cool, or, in a general consensus, but, somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I have this cool new beer. Great, can I get it for both restaurants? I don't think it's more difficult. I think it's just, it's a challenge. It's more of a challenge. I kind of push myself to believe that.
It's a nice challenge to have, because you are a brand.
One could be better than the other. You know what I mean? Not better than the other,
but it's a nice challenge.
I'm trying to outdo myself. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's a nice challenge to have, to figure out, bring out the best craft beer for everyone to have, though.
And this cooler is a lot bigger as far as space-wise than the beer library in Robinson. So there are quite a few beers in this selection that we do not have in Robinson. Not many, but there are some. And you're going to probably see a little bit, maybe a vintage section coming up soon, because we do have the room here to do that. So.
Very nice.
Now, at the bottom of these, you do have like some of the 12-packs. I'm assuming those aren't for sale, or...
They are for sale.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I didn't know if that was just storage that you have right now.
Quick 12-pack carry out for those who don't want to make a decision.
What about the kegs, though?
No carry out.
No carry out on those?
Those are going in my truck after the show.
We got room. We'll fit it.
Hell yeah. And describe what we got.
Oh, so you hand it to me. Yeah.
I'm blind.
25th anniversary, Sorry. Pennsylvania Brewing Company, Imperial Pilsner. It's from our good friends over at Penn Brewing Company.
Imperial Pilsner. I'm very curious.
And for some reason, I want to say Golden, Colorado, but I'm looking at all the red, red, silver, and white on here. Sorry, guys.
Imperial Pilsner just doesn't make sense to me. But
wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
If you order now, you get your own tube of DD7. Wow. Pueblo, Colorado, not no.
All right, let's give this a shot, man. What do you
this,
think?
You know, this, I have to give credit. I have always liked the labels that the Penn Brewers used.
Yeah.
On their special,
I always liked Penn Brewers because they stuck with the German styles. And
yeah.
They kind of veered away from that in the past, but, you know.
Well, the brewery has gone through that whole rebirth.
Exactly.
I'm sure you guys have talked about.
New
ownership.
Right, sure.
The old brewers, except minus Tom, are all back in the building.
Yep.
And have a new sort of a new freedom to explore. So that's why they've gotten away from some of the German styles here and there. Mm-hmm. I think they've tried some other things. I will tell you, they're also there are two women owners and one male owner, and the two women owners are in that same article we spoke of earlier.
Oh, nice.
The Crafty Women in Pittsburgh a couple of Thursdays ago.
We'll post a link to that on, on our show notes as well.
For sure, and they come from working together prior on a different business. I think they're in good shape to run a good business. I hope that this incarnation makes it. They are brewing in the building. They are working on building a bigger brewing facility and bottling in the same building. So all the problems they've had over the past few years are starting to work themselves out.
Yeah, that's great. Because when they went to Lion Brewing, I thought they were going to die.
And that really was their sort of like their kiss of death.
Everyone here just kind of shook their heads when
any beer that gets contracted by Lion Brewing after originally being brewed, you know, it just dies.
No, right. And, you know, their contract brewing, I don't think, is evil 100% across the board.
No, you have a small
brewery, and you need to partner up with somebody.
Sure.
And you are guiding the recipe, and you are guiding the product. You can't work in an infected, bad brewery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Lion does make some decent beers, but I just think that, you know, once you get that brewer in there that, you know, made that perfect recipe that everyone loves, going somewhere else now, made a little different, like you said, different equipment.
Right.
Not going to be the same.
No.
And they just have a bad track record.
Yeah, and it actually translates in food, too. We have a chef who's been cooking for us for 5 years at our other restaurant who came out here, is making the same exact recipes. There's nothing different about our purveyors or our food or the person making it. There's surely going to be somebody who says it doesn't taste the same. So,
sure. Yeah.
So that is automatically going to happen when you contract brew. But if you can overcome it by providing consistent product, like, what's the alternative?
That's the key. Consistency is the key.
Yeah. Right. And what's the alternative? Oh, we can't get 21st Amendment here, or we can't get X here.
21st Amendment is kind of another issue there, too.
I know it is, but otherwise, they had one brewery and one little landlocked spot in San Francisco. So if they wanted to grow their brewery, they had to do something.
Right.
So, and they're selling beer all over the country now.
And, you know, even for, like, for us, even for me, I've had the 21st Amendments.
At the brewery?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
So I have nothing to compare the contract brew ones with. And they're all still good beers.
I think the proof is in the bottle or the keg.
Yeah, sure.
Whether your contract brewing is successful depends on how good your beer tastes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
bottom
what I mean?
Line.
I personally don't think it's wrong. Like Chris said, with 21st Amendment, to go to a place that enables you to grow what you're doing if you need to.
Yep.
But unfortunately, in Penn's case, when they contract brewed, they wound up with, you know, Penn Maybach Monkey Butt.
Right. Yeah.
And let me tell you.
I think I'm going to name my next home brew.
Have you guys ever had a Monkey Butt?
Yes.
Okay.
But it wasn't called Monkey Butt at first. It was like Monkey Ass or something that they got in trouble.
Oh, what was it?
Remember that?
Bad Monkey. Yeah, it was Monkey Butt was the original, I thought.
Was it?
Was
that's right. He's right. It was Monkey Butt.
And then
became Bad Monkey because they got in trouble.
Oh,
Monkey yeah. Butt. That's what it was.
But we know the beer you speak of.
Yeah, I'm thinking over the top of it. Yeah, it's Monkey
I'm
Ass.
I'm glad I do not know that beer.
I think you sell it.
It's Primate Anus.
The contract
there's no way we sell it.
Well, you guys can go ahead and try that beer. I've had my taste. And
oh, what do you think, really?
You mean this beer? You mean the beer we're tasting?
Yes.
Okay, let's segue back to what we're tasting. We're not talking about Monkey Butt or 21st Amendment.
No. We're talking about the Pennsylvania Brewing Company's 25th Anniversary Imperial Pilsner. I actually like this. Would I drink a lot of this? Probably not.
It doesn't smell like a pils.
No.
Oh, it's not. No. I guess that's the imperial part.
It's one of those style hoppers.
That's a great term for that.
I did have this like the day they put it out. I had happened to go to the Best of the Berg party for our bartender sure. Dash Kaplan, who was bartender in the Berg.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh City Paper readers poll.
And congrats to him, by the way.
Yeah,
at Dash Kaplan on Twitter.
At Dash Kaplan on Twitter. So beforehand, I decided that I would stop at Penn Brewery and have a beer or two, and I was coerced by Nick Rosich to try this new beer, and I thought it rather pleasant and
it's nice.
A little bit different.
For a Pilsner, I get the Imperial part.
The Penn Road, I thought it was a little bit bold.
Yeah. Well, I thought their hoppy beer, what was that called? That was a little bit too bold for me.
They have the Kaiser Pill or...
What was that? Pendemonium.
Oh,
the Maybach.
Pendemonium?
That's like a high ABV yeah. Maybach.
Yeah, that didn't work for me.
I don't like the Maybach this year at all.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that one, but I thought that was an IPA.
Oh, Pendemonium? I don't know. That is probably the only beer that they make.
I don't remember.
I don't love because there's a lot of alcohol and not a ton of flavor, but... I like each of the other ones kind of fit with something, with whether you're
yeah.
eating.
Yeah, there was way too much alcohol. Sorry.
Yeah, that was high. Yeah. It was a lot of alcohol.
Maybe I just need to revisit that one.
Yeah, I'm not hating on it, but it was just a lot of alcohol without a lot of flavor. If I want a heavy alcohol beer, I want to sip it. I don't want to be able to drink it down.
Right.
I want it to have a little bit of obnoxious, you know, punch me in the face.
This is like new and interesting to me, so I like it.
This new one, this
I'm
one
not,
right now.
I'm not liking this.
This is. It says Pennsylvania 25th Anniversary Imperial Pilsner. I'm not a huge fan of Pilsners, but I do.
I'm not either, but I like this.
I do
this.
Like it. I think there's a smoothness that's out. It's roughed out from the Pilsner. I think
yeah.
just like a double IPA smooths out from regular IPA.
Yep.
There's no head on mine.
No.
I think it tastes like an Airwick.
See that Dem power suggestion? I get what you're saying. I get it.
I'm not.
It's like huffing too quick on an air freshener you walk by.
Yeah. I don't like it. I'm
that's
getting lemon out of it.
Fresh and lemony, yeah.
Yeah.
I end up so far, it's like it's a bitter lemon I'm getting out of this.
It's the Penn Brewing's Renews It Ale.
Aww. It's better than my Airwick, but yeah.
Did Nick brew it?
Febreze Pilsner.
I would think so.
I like it, though. I mean, all jokes aside, it's not a bad beer. Like I said, I don't think I drink a lot of it. But.
If you gave me a case of it, I would give it right back to you.
Wow.
I'm not liking this.
I would never do that, ever.
You could cook with it.
I would.
There you go.
Actually, I absolutely would cook with this. I could cook with that.
Although I will say, hoppy beers, you have to be very careful with cooking with.
Right,
them,
so I agree.
Very careful.
Actually, I usually make good soups out of hoppy beers.
You'll have to send us a recipe or two.
I got a few. I have a Gorgonzola IPA that's really good.
I have to say that I like the Kaiser Pils.
Do you?
Much better than... I enjoy this. It's light drinking. It's nice. It's a little bit bolder, like I said, than what
they
usually do.
Yeah, that's why I like
it.
It's got that more of a kick to it than a normal Pilsner, which I like.
But I do prefer the Kaiser Pils to it. I think the Kaiser is a little bit truer to its...
To its style.
To its style
yeah.
as it, like... This could be some kind of IPA, weaker IPA of some sort.
I almost said it, IPA wannabe, but that just sounds wrong.
IPA wannabe?
I like it, actually.
Talking into this, I feel like I'm on Saturday Night Live and the Schwetty Balls set.
Hey, yeah!
The Schwetty Balls set.
That's a whole other podcast that we know of.
Right.
And I feel like I'm talking like her, like 20 balls. How do you feel that? Sorry.
That's awesome.
I've gotten through 4 ounces of this beer, and I'm on my second little pour, and I do like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah.
It's hoppier, it is brave, it is bold.
Right.
I would say that I wouldn't be able to drink a lot of it.
No.
It's just a little too much alcohol.
I mean, it's a bomber bottle. I would split this bottle with someone easily.
Yep.
But by myself, probably not. Mm-hmm. By the time I finish that bottle, I think I'd be tired of it.
Yeah. I also will say I love the Kaiser Pils. I think Kaiser Pils should be Penn Pilsner, and they should turn Penn Pilsner into whatever that crew lager thing was.
Right, right.
I forgot about that.
All of our lager drinkers that come in here that want just a beer from the street, and we introduce them, they either go with Penn Pilsner or Toasted Lager, or in Penn Pilsner, they're like, ooh, I don't know if I like Pilsners, but they always take it, they always like it, and I don't know where that mistake happened along, the past 25 years for Penn Brewery. They branded that Penn Pilsner, and it really is not a Pils or very... It doesn't have a hop character.
Right.
It's not my... I can drink it, but it's not my favorite. I fell back to Penn Dark in the early years. Penn Dark was my early drinking years beer and moved on from there. But I like the Kaiser Pils, and they finally let it out into the market over the past couple of years. So... I think they're going in the right direction, but they are going in a lot of directions.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think they're just trying to find their place again, in this new industry. For sure.
And they have things like really interesting competition. I hate to call it competition, but they have interesting other concerns. They are a restaurant. They are a tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. So they are up against like church and Hofbrauhaus for that out-of-towner coming in for the week or the weekend.
Right.
They do have a great grasp on that, and they're trying to be in the house that, and then out in the real public, your everyday Pittsburgh go-to beer. They actually have, I think, the power to be that if they want to.
Yeah, I agree.
They could be, whatever. We've lost our Iron City of the city, which is fine.
We lost them long time ago.
But nobody has stepped up to the plate. And, as Doug will get on, the bandwagon and say there's no way that that'll be, Duquesne or any of those other ones that are coming along. Sorry, Doug.
Why you got to get started on that?
Well, it's not, there's a retro aspect of, a Pabst Blue Ribbon or a stupid, stupid.
Which, by the way, they never actually won a Blue Ribbon, but that's another
corny tasting sweet beer crap. But the actual heart of Pittsburgh belongs to somebody, a brewery.
There's some history behind it.
Right. Yeah. So East End isn't going to be the, an old man's beer, but I think the younger crowd has accepted East End as their, heart and soul. But Penn Brewery can take back some of the Iron City crowd if they want to.
They absolutely can. Yeah. Especially since Duquesne's made in Latrobe.
Not to mention it's not beer.
I don't know what the hell that is. Then in the whole debacle with the Fort Pitt brand that's going on right now.
I don't even know.
How much more crappy beer do we need on the market?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Besides the whole Duquesne thing, I'm not going to go off on that rant. But they also want to get. They also want to start brewing. Fort Pitt.
Yeah.
Out of Latrobe.
Bad idea.
But you're not Pittsburgh. That's like saying Grove City's Pittsburgh. Erie Brewing. That's Pittsburgh too. Now while we're at it.
Yep.
The whole thing just chaps my ass.
Stupid.
But. All right, kids. So we're set up here with the final beer of the evening.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Let me turn that around. Oh, yeah, that's...
From our good friends up in Erie Penn.
It's a very different tasting pumpkin beer.
Yeah, it fucking better be. Just kidding.
That pumpkin-ness.
It actually...
There's not much nose on it.
I think there is.
What do we know about this brewery? Didn't you already meet and...
We met Jason and Nikki, and actually I think we met his entire staff. And, wow. Yeah.
See, that
Lavery's
smells
got some
like
good stuff going on up there in Erie. And as soon as I saw this hit his website, I was really excited to give it a shot because no one else in Erie makes a pumpkin beer. The Brew Erie might, but we never see
point.
It.
Yeah.
And well, we know Erie Brewing doesn't. They make a derailed black cherry ale.
I'm gonna drink this now.
All right, let's drink this one up.
I'm not excited,
find out what everyone thinks about this.
Actually, I had a great time with all of the other Laveries that came in. A few months back, I had tried all three bombers that they brought into Pittsburgh. Loved every last one of them. The Saison especially just had like a spicy, real spicy note. It wasn't trying to be lemony. It wasn't trying to be just approachable. It actually had character, like, whatever. I think it wasn't trying to please everybody with it, which made me happy. I think they came out strong. Their stout is smoky, which is a strong way to come out.
Incredibly smoky.
Yeah, which it might not be for everybody, but hey, brave.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was very brave of them. They didn't come out of the gates with your standard stout, your standard saison.
He came out guns blazing and doing what he wanted to do.
For sure, and I haven't met them yet, but I can't wait to meet them. I'll give them a big hug and a kiss.
You're
on the pumpkin ale, because it takes a different road.
Yeah, can I start this one?
You don't. We know already. You do not like the style.
I don't. But to the back of it, it's another pumpkin ale. However, that beer tastes exactly like pumpkin pie.
This one?
Yeah, to me it does.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
It's heavy on the pumpkin pie to me. But you're talking to somebody that doesn't like pumpkin pie, so.
There's no sweetness to it at all.
No, I'm not getting any sweetness. It's just
maybe it's just how your mom makes it and what you're used to. I don't know.
I'm not a sweet person. I can't do sugar. I don't like desserts. I'm a sweet person. I mean, I'm not a sweets eating person. The Stingy Jack Pumpkin Ale has no sugar flavor whatsoever. No. Not an aspect
it's
of it.
It's prominent on the pumpkin and a little bit of spice.
I taste like peppercorns or something.
I get that.
Sorry.
And see, whenever I drink pumpkin beer, though, and this is the thing with pumpkin beers, is you have in your head how you already expect it to taste, because there's two different types of pumpkin beer. It's either be heavy on spice or it's going to be heavy on the sweetness. And to me, I'm more of the Southern Tier pumpkin, which tastes to me like a pumpkin roll, pumpkin pie. That's what it tastes like to me, because it's got like the creaminess to it, like there's whipped cream on the top of the pie.
Oh, yeah. To me, that
tastes
exactly
like pumpkin
pie. It's
on tap right now. We could actually taste it against us.
I think we should. and since we are here at Hooters.
Hooters!
Hey! I'm turning around and looking to see who's behind me.
No, I just wanted to see if I could get you to scream Hooters.
Honestly.
But it worked. The guy at the table behind us just said, what? We're at Hooters?
Hooters?
What? Well, they got wings.
Maybe you need a new set of glasses.
I could.
Indeed.
What is the ABV on this, do you know?
One.
Who cares? Just kidding.
No,
I haven't
looked at the bottle yet.
If you would taste it against pumpkin, you're tasting against...
It should be right by the UPC code, I believe.
Excuse me, is that the new law?
No, I think that's where he puts them, though.
7.5, and pumpkin's what, 9?
9-ish.
This is actually very, very smooth tasting for being 7.5.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Not much alcohol, fusel taste to that at all. But also, it's still a fucking pumpkin beer.
One of the ones I didn't get to try, I'm very embarrassed to say, I never got to try Scott's Nunkin.
I haven't tried that one.
Nunkin?
Yeah, I had it at the beer fest, and I didn't try it at all.
He was so anti doing the pumpkin beer that he almost talked me out of trying it. His point being, they're not pumpkin beers or pumpkin flavored beers. I heard good things about it from people.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely haven't tasted it.
Right.
And for the most part, I don't understand the style. Are you throwing pumpkins in there, or are you making beer with pumpkin spice? Do you know the answer?
I don't know that, but I do know that when you put actual pumpkin in a beer and, you know, cook it, ferment it, whatever, the actual pumpkin does nothing for the beer. So, you know, that's why they do the spices and the additions like that.
I went down to Wally World Walmart last year and saw that they had hundreds and hundreds of boxes of pumpkins left over. And I went in and asked the manager if I could possibly find a home for them. Do they give them to, you know, whatever.
Charity or whatever.
Yeah, do they give them to a food bank? Could I just buy a box of them off of them? You know, it was basically a pallet of pumpkins. Could I call up a brewery and see if they needed them? And you call the brewery, and they're like, we don't put pumpkin in our pumpkin beer.
Yep. There's only a few that do. And off the top of my head, I don't know who those are. But.
You can actually taste it that this is made with real pumpkin because it's not that sugary, sweet taste. You know, it's not like a candy. It's actually almost savory to the extent where it tastes like there's a pepper in there somewhere.
Pardon me a moment.
Southampton makes theirs with real pumpkin, too, and you can taste it. And that's one of my favorite. That is my favorite fall seasonal.
Okay, I'm going to read what I... Now, I actually can still see. Okay. It says right on the bottle, brewed with locally grown Port Farm pumpkins.
There you go.
The finest American hops. Well, it doesn't tell me what kind of hops. And barley and a hauntingly delicious spice blend. It's great, this caramely, malty, and tasty libation with a dry finish. I'll say that's a great description of it. I do think it's malty and dry, which is kind of strange, actually. Bottle conditioned ale, pour carefully, leave the sediment at the bottom of the bottle. I like the sediment at the bottom of the bottle.
So do I.
Swish.
Love that.
Now,
I'm warming up.
I like the funk.
Though.
Sick Puppy, do you like pumpkin pie?
I do not.
No, you don't like anything.
That's why I respect the pumpkin beers. I just can't get into them. I just don't like pumpkin pie. To me, that's liquid pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, it's a pumpkin flavor.
They all remind me of pumpkin pie, so therefore I do not like them.
I didn't like pumpkin until I was grown up, a grown up person. When I was
trying
a kid,
to say I'm not grown up yet. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pumpkin pie.
Ding 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 ding.
So
ding.
I know you're. Ouch. I know what you're feeling.
How feelings I'd be hurt.
So.
Anyway, are we having another pumpkin beer here? Or what are we doing?
No, I do have an.
We should wrap it up soon. I think we're about 2 hours into this.
Yeah. Well, don't turn it off yet, because there's a surprise in this.
There's a surprise in Chris's sack.
Jesus Christ.
Well. Okay,
Chris's sack is on the table.
Yeah, actually, what this is a bright orange, what is it, knapsack, backsack?
So Santa's gone hunting.
It's from PodCamp Pittsburgh 6.
Yeah, PodCamp Pittsburgh has been disguising something on this table for about 2 hours.
Uh-oh.
Neither one of them even asked what it might be or cared.
Oh, my God, now I know what it is. You don't know what it is.
I'm slowly but surely wrapping the knapsack down around it so they can see the shape of this bottle.
I think
it's
peed my pants a little.
I know that shape.
I already know what it is.
Get the funk out.
Is that a donation to SIDT?
Is that something like here at the table? What is this?
Okay, before...
I don't have to drive.
Well, okay. After this, I don't care. Rest my ass.
We can sleep in my office. I'm close.
Sorry, I put up my porch, sir.
Okay, well, we're just going to do a toast. It's obviously something that is shelf-stable. And hopefully,
indeed.
Hopefully folks out in the real world know what they've already figured it out by the shape. The fact that I showed the shape through the...
Through the audio? Oh, wow, we got some feedback there. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead.
You guys figured out what it was by the shape. Okay, so will the home audience. I've been wanting to toast the grand opening of the second restaurant, wanting to share a taste of something with friends, and I haven't had this beverage yet. It's never been open. But once we do open it, I can leave it on the shelf in my office and share it with a couple more folks over the next few weeks between now and Christmas. So this is an inaugural opening of...
Holy shit.
Have you actually had this before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it depends on the year.
Ours is a little special.
Okay.
We had the original year.
Okay.
Yeah.
What year was the first year?
2000?
2001,
2000.
What was the original Millennium one?
The very first one they ever did.
Because...
This is a 2007, I think.
No, I don't want
Get the hell out.
Kidding. Yeah, come on.
She got us a bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream.
Irish Cream. Oh, that's awesome.
And I didn't get
to go get the Mad Dog out of my truck.
I didn't get a bottle of it.
Sweet. I've been waiting to open up my early times.
Oh, my God. Yeah, one we had, it was from the best man in my wedding. He got it. It was like a kind of like a, hey, congratulations, you're married. Let's drink this thing. I want to know what it tastes like. I cannot believe this is in front of me right freaking now.
Get this fucking pumpkin out of the way.
Sorry, Jason, we love your beer, but it's getting off the fucking table.
I love your beer, too, just not that one.
Well, let's just move stuff. Dear God, this is going to be the most tweeted picture. Oh, wait, yeah, I guess where's the...
Of course, my phone's in the bar.
Be glad it isn't
sharing.
Sending you text like
this. Too many flashes.
So, with all the silence, and I actually, I cannot believe that I got actual genuine surprise out of Father Spoon and Sick Puppy tonight.
Wow.
As soon as you grabbed that bag and that shape took, I knew it.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I know what that is. And like, oh my God, I know what that is.
Do I have that big of a problem?
You
or?
It was the whole time.
No.
It's been kind of.
It's like in a pod cam bag. I'm like, well, you got stickers for us? Great. Yeah, what the fuck? Little did I know.
There weren't nearly enough stickers at pod cam.
Trust me, this is better.
So, obviously, we're
excuse the coughing. I'm getting over a cold.
I'm obviously not going to limit you to like a 1 ounce taste, but I'm just trying to share it with some fooky people. And I will have to say that I've had two other tastes of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's never been opened. Never been opened. Do you want a picture of that?
Yeah, for the people who never actually popped the cap.
Yeah, I think they should understand. I think they should understand a little bit about it. There's a big misnomer that once you open it, you drink it just like a beer.
No. Yeah, don't do that.
No, and that you would chill it or whatever, lay it on its side or 9 million other things. You just want to open this one up and share it like you would a cognac, a port.
It's a lot like a port wine.
Bourbon, whatever it is that you're into, it is really a lot like port wine. The ones I've tasted are...
the one we had, I had the same thing, port wine, hardcore port wine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, it's like so yummy, you just don't want to stop drinking.
There is the beer librarian. Look at that.
How you're doing video,
I'm doing video right now. Sam Adams, Utopias. Yeah, what did you say, it's 2007?
Congratulations.
My God. Fantastic. This historic moment. We're in Bucktown, Monaca. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On opening Bucktown.
To all of you.
Part two.
Sweet.
2007, right, girl?
This is a 2007 bottle.
Yeah. Is this recently acquired, or have you been sitting on this?
Sitting on it probably for a year and a half, for 2 years-ish. Since we decided to do this, I think.
Amazing.
I can smell rain.
Oh, I can smell it from here.
Yeah, I can smell it from over here on the end of the table. I kind of feel guilty now. I think I want to, like, throw her $20.
What do you think, Puppy?
Dude, second time for this. Love it. Can't go wrong.
This is the second time for once in a lifetime.
Exactly. I'm excited, man. Congratulations, guys.
Congrats.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us.
You as well. Oh, God.
It just evaporates right off your tongue.
Wow, is there even some anise or something?
Wow, that's...
That flavor is way different than what I experienced before, dude.
Yeah.
It's way stronger than the one we had.
Wow.
And that's aging, obviously, but ours is real smooth to the mouth. This got some punch to it.
Yeah.
Well, that was loud, sorry.
I definitely agree that it's different than the first one I tasted. I don't know the year on my first one, but it actually, I poured way too heavy, I think, almost, because it's, I mean, not whatever, I'm going to share it, but I mean, I think
well,
that's...
no, I mean, that's...
I think the
that
pour,
amount is fine.
No. I think that it's sort of like a... Do you remember how you, I don't know if you were old enough to get like a drink in a pony glass?
Yeah.
Like an up pony glass. I think that it belongs in that pour. This one isn't as sweet and as mellow as the last time I had one.
This kind of reminds me of the maple syrup candy at Brady's Run Park.
Oh yeah. I get it. Okay, I have one other beer I didn't bring that I should have brought.
Oh, God. I'm never making it home.
No, I didn't bring it. That nasty-ass triple bock bullshit.
Oh, I've never had that.
I had that years ago. I didn't think it was that bad. But that was 10 years ago.
It tasted like Worcestershire sauce.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It was a thick bastard.
I do want to open it again with a different palate and decide that I was completely wrong. Let's talk about that. The fact that it's not really beer, as people know beer.
It is a beer.
It's so much more like a
beer. By definition, it's a beer, but...
Wow.
So I think that's why I love this industry more than the wine industry. I mean, I could be a wine...
Oh, geek. Yeah.
I mean, I worked at a great wine bar, wine restaurant, and I've been to Italy. I do appreciate red wine, especially. But what does beer have over wine? There's just such a bigger range and bigger.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
You can burp.
Burp Utopia.
I didn't even realize. I'm just saying like burp. Whoa.
That's funny. But sorry. Wine has such a range. I mean, name a flavor. You probably could find it in beer.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I'm making a friggin' Dorian beer, for God's sakes.
I think the artistic merit of beer is heads and tails above.
Oh, I agree.
What you can do with wine.
Yep.
Have you guys heard of Prism?
I mean, I'm going to get beat for this probably by my wine friends, but to me, wine, this is fucking red and white. After that, you suck.
Even to the labels. Wine.
I don't mean to disrespect wine. That's just funny to me.
Women on wine bottles?
Oh, they probably are.
There's one at a special store in Ohio. It's called Bitch.
Some cool, you know, if you look at wine from a pop culture aspect, there's like a Maynard from Tool.
Yeah, the Tool dude.
Company.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are.
I respect what he's doing though, because he's growing grapes in places where grapes shouldn't grow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Right.
Will I ever drink his product? No. Besides, don't like wine. But again, respect.
Just the fact that there is beer that ranges from, corn water all the way up to maple syrup. I mean, there's a whole world in between there.
And that's so good.
I brought up Prism Brewing because I'm really interested. And if you're out there and you're listening,
did you say Prism or Prison?
Prism.
Okay.
And they're from North Wells, Pennsylvania. And I just read on
North. Where's that?
It's kind of by Philly. A little bit south of Philly.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about Pruno or an actual brewery called Prism.
Prism. They have some very interesting beers, and it's something that you're going to get in the wine world. They have they make a beer called Chemo Sabe, which is CHEMO/Sabe, but it's a
if there's chemo drugs in that, I want it.
Oh, so they put enough wasabi in the wheat.
I would love
that spice. And just a little bit like a pepper, like if you put peppercorn in a wheat beer or something like that, it gives it that kick.
Yep.
And I would love to. If you're out there, it is TERA@bocktown.com. Let's taste.
Hi, Prism. This is Tara. And I would love to talk to you.
I'm not very witty tonight, so I'm
it's all good. You've been
tired,
busy, hard-working girl, yeah.
But the Utopias is
just put some chalk on your boobs, you'll be fine.
Perked my saggers up a bit.
Let me tell you, this is the most fun I've ever had checking in a beer, ever. Chris and Tara, thank you for everything.
Yeah, we
gotta
wrap
this
shit up.
And
the best finale of the show ever, by the way.
Best surprise ever.
Good. I'm glad we surprised you.
The only thing would have made it better if I wasn't wearing pants.
Okay, Chachi.
I'm still not. I took mine off halfway through the show. It's getting uncomfortable.
Well, I'm just welcoming all the beer geeks out there and beer geekdom.
Oh, Jesus, you did it in a great way.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
My Lord.
Okay. So if you come to Bocktown Manaca, free Utopia for everyone.
I wish it was.
I'm just kidding.
That was a key word.
Okay. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I wish it was, and I do want to share it with my friends, but if nothing else, I do want to share a beer with you. You know, I would love to say hello to everybody. Beer is definitely, this craft beer industry is about making friends. I believe in it wholly, so it doesn't mean sit around and get drunk all night. It really doesn't.
No, not at all.
Wow.
I've made some great friends over craft beer conversations.
Yeah, and there
home brewing, craft beer, all that.
There's literally great tastes to be tried. Like, whatever. Your mind gets opened up about different styles and Dorian and whatever. Stinky feet cheese and who knows what
I'm
else.
Not going to let the Dorian thing go until I actually bottle it and taste it.
One of these days, I hope I'm drunk enough to call up your drunk dial hotline.
I would love that. I think that would be a fantastic addition.
There's been so many nights where I wanted to call, and I'm like, I'm not drunk enough. So I'm not.
You don't even have to leave your real name. I mean, I'll know.
You don't think you would know my voice?
Well, I would know the number and everything, but
wait, she dropped an F-bomb. That's Chris.
No, right? That's true.
Well, we've had some good ones, but
yeah. One of these, I don't want to be drunk, so I probably will never call. But I definitely want to be a part of the rest of your show, like other things you do. So.
Well, we appreciate everything you've done for craft beer in Pittsburgh and with social media,
the local community, everything.
Yeah, and bringing everyone together too.
We love you, and we're proud of all of you guys. Virtual hug.
Stop that.
Trigger heart.
For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most reverend Father Spoon.
This is sick puppy.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
Yeah, and we're also going to drink the Utopia, because you can't.
Because you can't. Sucks to be you, doesn't it?
Oh! Bitches!
And we've had it twice, so suck it. Go ahead, you were going to close there, Chris?
I don't think that was crap tonight.
Oh, that was not crap. No, 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 no. Hell no. Well, okay, the pumpkin was crap, but that's just me, so... Don't give that to him.
Let's go bottle bong it.
He'll run away with it.
Damn!
He's like, look at Moose. All right, guys, we are out of here off like a prom dress. It's been a great night.
Great night.
My ass is so
dumb.
One last thing. You can end this right now. Tell everybody once again where they can find you on the internets and where this new location is, and the old one, if you will, or the original one.
Come find us at bocktown.com. We are located in Robinson, Pennsylvania, off the Robinson exit. And we are located in Monaca, Pennsylvania, off the Monaca exit. Second location is only 8 days old when we recorded this show.
Woo-hoo.
All right, man. Let's wrap it up, brother.
All right.
Cheers. Dine a fire.
Woo!
Eat a bullet.
Cheers! Are you done with yours?
Yes, I'm done with mine.
I'm just going to keep talking, man.
I want to stop this thing so we can save it, because, you know, some of us have to go home and to kids and stuff.
Yeah, and I really have to piss, so we out.
Bitches!